You're having a threesome with Jennifer Golden, Lauren Leonelli, and Rob Evers. And now, It's Complicated.
Hello, Master Daters. Welcome back for another episode of It's Complicated.
Your fave podcast for all things dating and relationships.
A one-stop pod shop for the latest trends, reality TV, and celebrity couple gossip.
Plus, everything we've got going on in our own love lives.
We're your village, and we think you can't date or relate without us.
And you should be pumped to be here because we are bringing you the expertise and guests who are filled with all the answers that'll take some guessing out of the game.
Make sure you subscribe and share our pod with your friends so we can help grow the village even bigger. You can find us at It's Complicated Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to tell a friend.
Oh, sometimes it comes out of nowhere. Sometimes it's been festering in your cute little mind for weeks, and other times it starts out as a little disagreement and ends in 2 days of tension.
Yep, we're talking about arguments, those cute little things that everyone has and everyone tries to avoid.
They are one of the worst parts of relationships. They send people to therapy and can make people feel insecure or even depressed, and they can cause an end to the relationship. Now, why arguments happen can come from a multiple different reasons, but how to prevent them from happening can be a little easier to manage.
So let's discuss what to say when you hear the words, we need to talk. So we saw a post on Instagram, the Art of Healing by Trevor account posted three practices that he and his wife use to stop almost every argument before it begins.
All of the experts, authors, dating coaches, and everybody else we've had on this pod have all agreed that communication is key. Trevor is a couple therapist, and he says he always asks his clients what their greatest struggle in their relationship is, and almost all of them say, obviously, communication.
Let's get into the three practices Trevor uses and teaches his clients and see if we have ever tried these methods and if we think they're effective.
Okay, the first one is to practice emotional regulation. So he says that emotional regulation is the foundation for healthy communication. So that's a big one. Everything else hinges on your ability to like stay calm and to slow down. And that this is the slow down part is something we should all really like let that sink in, because when you are trying to get your point across, I think we can all relate to this. This really, really rang true for me. When you're trying to get your point across, when you feel like your needs aren't being met, you're not being heard, you feel hurt, all those things, do we all agree that you feel a sense of urgency? It's like in that moment, it's almost like a mini fight or flight is happening, right? Like your physiological like things start firing up. You're like, I need to talk. Like everything, your voice gets louder, it gets faster. Like why does that happen? It's so weird. It's like a weird biological response, right? He is saying, slow down this sense of urgency that just happens. And like, it's counterintuitive to do that. But if you just slow down and calm down, this is the secret to success.
Does this fall in the category? Well, obviously you're supposed to like breathe, right? And like when you're getting those emotions that are building up, but then is this in the category of like, take a walk? Or yeah. Is this in the next category?
No, I think that would be, I think it's whatever is going to help you calm down and slow down. So if you need to tell your partner, like, I need to take a second, go out into another room, go take a walk, whatever it is, just communicate that that's happening. Don't just walk out or whatever. But yeah, I think it's whatever you can do to calm yourself down.
I think it also is kind of like putting the onus on the person whose emotions are flaring, because that's like our work. That's our self stuff that we need to do. It's the, how do you handle your triggers? How do you handle when your temper is starting to flare? You're responsible for you, hence the emotional regulation. So if you're not actually good at regulating your emotions, then you're probably going to be impulsive, react rashly, and maybe fuel the fire even more, or do something you're going to regret because you're not actually in a place where you can think clearly or feel clearly. You are in a state of like heightened tension.
But we're not... we're not all Buddha, you know, we're all not like monks.
No?
Like we can't sit there and meditate while somebody's pouring gasoline and lighting us on fire, you know? Oh. So like, and I said this multiple times and I'm working on it, but I still think it's something that is not a bad thing, but it's just who I am. Like I'm a match your energy type of guy. So like, if you're going to talk calmly to me, then I'll talk calmly to you. If you're going to raise your voice and scream, guess what? I can do that too. And probably a lot worse than you can.
But so, Rob, like, don't you think, and I get that. It's very like, that is like a way to balance things out. And it's also like, I'm that way too, but don't you think in a way it's like giving the other person too much control, because you're like, well, I'll match your energy. Like, what if they get all like crazy and loud or whatever, and you're like, I don't want to be there right now. Like, you don't then have to be there. Or if you're like, I need to get mad right now, and they're too calm, like, you can't stifle your emotion just because they're not. I'm not saying you do it 100% of the time, but
I don't need to get mad if they're not. Like, that's the thing, right? Like, if you're going to be screaming and yelling at me, and I'm not coming straight back at you with like a, like screaming and yelling. Like, I'll try to bring the emotion down first a couple of times. And yeah, then I'll be like, hey, guess what? I can fucking do this too. You know what I mean? Like,
that sounds productive. Yeah. Well, but for those that are listening and aren't super aware of what emotional self-regulation is, it is the ability to respond to the ongoing demands of experience with the range of emotions in a manner that is socially tolerable and sufficiently flexible to permit spontaneous reactions, as well as the ability to delay spontaneous reactions. So basically,
can you like cliff notes that?
What yeah,
what is it, the it basically means lexicon of that, because I was so, like, where are we going?
Yeah, so it is it's homeostasis. So that is just a place of stillness. And I think, Rob, you were starting to ask before about like, is that when you take a walk or whatever it is? But it's actually like a place of stillness, because it's not reactive and it's not proactive. It's just a state of being. So if you're in a state of being, then you aren't highly triggered or emotional or whatever. So you can communicate in a proper manner, or you can react in a proper manner. You're not going to fly off the handle or whatever the case may be. So I think this is a great one, because going back to what I said earlier, your emotional regulation abilities are your responsibility to master, so that you can show up like this.
And I think if we can identify the moment where we feel that sense of urgency, like for me, I said that really rang true. Like, I was like, oh yeah, like it does feel urgent. That's a great word to describe that feeling when you start getting triggered and everything starts going quick. Like, if you can identify that, then when it happens, you can be like, ah, there it is. Okay, maybe take a deep breath right now, or to whatever, try whatever tactic you would like. But I think it does help to identify that that's what that feeling is, put a word on it, and then when it happens, try to regulate it. And then you won't go too far.
I will say, for me, one of the most challenging things about going from being single to in a relationship is having to have tact during, I mean, this whole episode, having tact during an argument and not just coming at it from where I want it to come from, or how I normally handle things, or the urgency of wanting to talk about something when somebody else wants to cool down and take a walk or whatever it is. Like, all of those things, I was like, holy shit, this is the work. I feel like I'm exhausted from trying to figure out another person and having to adapt so that we can healthily communicate and, you know, conversate about our feelings and issues. Or maybe they don't want to talk about feelings right now. Maybe they've had a hard day, so you got to table that. I'm like, so where do I put my emotions for the next 24 hours till it's time to talk? Am I invited to that reservation? Because I would like it to be happy hour instead of late dinner.
Well, that's the thing, right? Is like, you can't, and that's kind of what I was saying before, but like, you can't, I can know how I fight. I don't know how you do. Do you know what I mean? So like, I'm not going to just put on this podcast episode and be like, listen, and then we'll get back to it. Do you, like, it's more of like, and our argument happens in the first place because you don't agree with that person. Like, you're exactly, like, they're wrong and you're right, and that's why you're saying that. So like, getting that across and then also trying to understand their point of view is like a double math problem that you have to try to fit, and then bring your emotion into it and be like, okay, now I got to do this too.
So hard. So many layers, and it gets more complicated from this list. Cause to me, the emotional regulation, even though it's hard, it's like the most clear cut, simple one of this list of three. Cause as this goes down, in my opinion, it gets way more complicated.
Way more complicated. Cause the next one kind of, this is what I was going to ask. Cause the next one falls into this one.
Yeah, the next one, and he fully admits that the next one is wait to get mad. So the first one is practice your emotional regulation and then wait to get mad. And he fully admits, this is contradictory to his previous statement to keep your cool, but if you can't do that,
So wait, so what he's saying basically is like, put the car in park and then take a breath.
Yeah, like, he's saying, try to regulate your emotions, and hopefully that will bring you down to like a calm level for most of the conversation. But if you can't do that, because we're not robots, right? We're not Buddha. You have to get mad, and it just comes out. Then wait, try to put the car in park and wait, because before you lose your mind, which is fine to happen, I guess, we're human. Get curious, wait for all the information. You will most likely realize that your partner's intentions were not as horrible as you thought, and you maybe didn't have the full picture or all the information. And so you don't have to go find your mind that you lost. Mm. And you're basically, it's like we always say, you're keeping your side of the street clean. However,
that's interesting.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, before we move on from that point, like, I've never heard the phrase get curious during a fight.
And really?
That's such a mind bender for me, because it's like, okay, if I change it from having to be right and having to win to being like, why is this person saying this? Do you know what I mean? And like, what point are they trying to get? I mean, obviously I've been like, what's your point in arguments before, but it's only for me to be like, it's wrong. Do you know? You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Like, for me to be curious to see where this is going and being like, okay, that puts you on more of, and I always use this in acting too. It's like either you're on your toes or on your heels, right? You're either like coming at them or you're like sitting back and kind of taking it. So like, it'd be on your heel moment, because you're like,
I think your relationship should always be on your heels if we're playing by the relationship rules.
Yeah, but not if they're doing something wrong. You can be on your fucking toes.
Here's the thing. The intention is,
the goal is to
give them the grace. Yeah. And so you want to think that, you know, you're both in it to win it. You want the same relationship. You want it to work out. Therefore, you give each other the space to be a human and to communicate.
Right. But you're both it's never going to happen. I mean, maybe this guy is a fucking Buddha robot that's writing this, you know, maybe he's some sort of Buddha robot AI guy that has never been in a real human relationship, but like, you're never both going to be on your heels. So you're not going to be on your heels all the time. Somebody's on their toes. So yeah.
That's why he says, wait to get mad, I think, because he's saying it's going to happen. Like, you're going to, you know, you're going to lose it. But if you can just try to get curious, now that for some reason is really weighing heavy in a good way with you, Rob. Like that, like me, the urgency thing was like, oh yeah, that was hitting home. Like the curious thing, it is actually a great point to focus on, because if you do tell yourself like, hold on, you don't need to be right now. Like, let's get curious and dissect this a little and figure out like why this is happening. This could actually be kind of like a cool distraction / like way to feel like you're on the same team, instead of more just me like, I'm right and you're wrong. So tell me your point so I can prove you wrong. Right.
It's definitely a good getting to know you tactic if you don't want to have that same argument again, because hopefully you can actually get to the root of it. But I do follow this other guy on Instagram who I sent you guys. His name's like Jefferson Law or something like that. He's a lawyer and he shares a lot of advice coming from like the legal lens, but it applies to relating to other human beings. So like, one post he did was about narcissists. Another post was about like, what's it called when people, gaslighting and things like that. And what he does say in every single one of them is to get curious for a different reason, not necessarily to bring you together, but to shed light on the other person and create a mirror effect. So you ask them a question for them to explain. And then that's usually when they're like, oh, wait, I actually didn't mean that. Or they backpedal or they try and explain and they're like, wait, okay, maybe I didn't. Mm. And so when you give somebody space to speak and to explain themselves, you're opening up the floor for them. One, then they feel heard. So often that's usually the issue, is somebody not feeling heard. So
I have heard that before. They're like, ask them a question about their argument, because then usually they'll be like, well, and then they'll have to double think what they're saying and ask if it's like right or wrong. Yeah. I have a thing now where I'm like, okay, I think I've told you girls this before too, is, and it goes along with this wait to get mad, is because I'm a very reactionary person, like very reactionary. As I've gotten older, I've obviously learned how to curb that per se. But it's just the way I was raised. My family yelled at each other and it was very volatile. And like, you had to be heard. That's how you did it. And what I'm going to do now is, if I ever get into a relationship again, and I know it's a relationship that I want to work and I want to work on, first thing I'm doing is getting into therapy, because like, I will take that argument to my therapist. instead of taking it to that person. So putting it in park, waiting to get mad, asking questions, then I can take all that information to my therapist and be like, all right, how do I react to this? Am I wrong? Am I crazy? Third party? And then how do I communicate that?
And that's great. I will say, though, sometimes
if I can do it, if I can do it in the moment,
it's hard, because if you need to try to get to a resolved point, because the other person needs it, you can't wait like, oh, therapy's in 7 days, so hold that thought. Yeah. You know, but yes, like eventually you can try to work it out and then still bring the argument to the therapist, and they can say, okay, well, when this happens, you should do this next time. Because usually when you have arguments, they're like, they can be about something specifically different, but the general idea is like probably always the same thing that you're getting mad at until you can really work through it. It's usually like an issue that just keeps popping up.
A dishwasher.
I feel like the wait to get mad thing, I like all of it. And I love the get curious part that you pointed out, Rob, but the part where it says you realize your partner's intentions were not as horrible as you thought, that's probably true, but sometimes it couldn't be. I mean, somebody could do something really bad, and it's not your job to sit and wait to get mad so that they can then, you can realize their intentions weren't that bad. Like sometimes people do mean things. And so like, yeah. That might not apply. So that was kind of when I read that, I was like, well, that doesn't always work.
Well, that's what I'm saying about the heel toe thing, right? Not everybody's going to be on their heel. Somebody's going to be doing something. It's an argument. Something wrong happened for one of you.
And the very last one is learn to translate. And this, between men and women, I think is a big one and very, very complicated. So he says most of the time when you're fighting and arguments happen, it's because we're mistranslating the message that our partner is trying to send us. So for example, he says, you could say like, your partner says to you, you always come home late. And what they're really meaning to say is, I long to spend more time with you. He says the ability to uncover the deeper and more accurate meanings behind what is said is the skill of translation. And this is one of the most powerful skills you can do to build a healthy communication. I agree, but then mostly don't agree. Because like, if you need to if you want to tell your partner, I want to spend more time with you, then just fucking say it. Don't be like, will you always come home late? Like,
No. I think what they're saying is like, what's happening on Summer House right now, right? Like Kyle and Amanda are going through some really shitty things on Summer House right now. But what she's getting mad at him about is coming home late from like hanging out with his friends, staying out till 3 o'clock in the morning. But it's not about that. It's about the fact that he cheated on her last 2 years ago when he was out really late with his friends getting drunk. So it's like the issue is not about how late he's coming out. It's about how late he's staying out. It's about like his fidelity. And it's like, okay, well, and if he asks her, are you really mad at me about staying out till 3 o'clock in the morning, my friends? Or are you mad at me about something that we should be really resolving that happened before? You know, and if that's the reason, what can I do to fix that? Okay. So that I can stay out late.
But it is also her responsibility, or the person's responsibility who is delivering the message, to also figure out how to speak clearly and say what's on their mind.
But obviously it doesn't happen.
I know, but
Lauren, you get mad about the fucking dishwasher.
Totally.
But it's not about the dishwasher.
I know, but I think that this one, it puts all of the responsibility on the other person to try and translate what they're saying, when I think the other person needs to take responsibility and also express how they're feeling accurately, instead of like giving a message to decode. I mean, Rob, I would think you as a guy would be like, say what you fucking mean. I'm not going to translate everything you're fucking saying to me. If you want me to come
home, Lauren, take a breath.
If you want,
Slow down.
If you want me to come home and spend time with me, just say it. Don't nag at me.
I agree. And nobody likes to be nagged at.
That's what I'm saying.
I think what he's saying is that not everybody has the emotional intelligence to know what they're actually upset about.
To communicate it properly and directly.
Right. So that if it's really like, if it's on that person to go, I'm not doing anything wrong. And that's, you know, over and over again. And they're like, yeah. And this is the only thing their emotions are just in that specific thing. Then they're not going to be like, oh, maybe it is something else. They're going to be mad at this. He's saying it's up to us to be like, this person, I'm not doing anything wrong. What is the real issue that you're upset about?
Be curious. But also, I think all of this is kind of like, and again, this comes from a place of you are in a relationship that is generally good. These are arguments, not deal breakers. He's saying how to avoid arguments so they don't escalate. So let's just say they're just run-of-the-mill arguments. And the idea is to give somebody the benefit of the doubt. This is how you go about that to get to the distilled point of the argument and hopefully then can communicate and use your tools and all of the stuff. But when it comes to translating, I think the idea is just to know you might speak different languages. You might be communicating differently, but the root of it is probably something that is benign. Like, why are you coming home late? Well, it's I miss you. Like, I mean, I've had this similar conversation recently with Daniel about like me expressing frustrations instead of asking him for help. And so I was like barking about walking Mochi and how taking care of her and then wedding planning and all these things. And really what I should have just said was, hey, I could use some help. And then it wouldn't have been me going on and on. And like, I was like a Tasmanian devil
waiting
around
for him to pick up what you're putting down. I've done the same. I just realized to do the same exact thing.
Well, I didn't actually expect him to do anything with that. I was venting. And instead of putting all my energy into venting, I could have just said, hey, would you mind helping me? I'm like at my breaking point right now and probably would have wasted a lot less breath and energy. And he would have been like, instead of I don't know what to do with this person who's full of chaos, I actually could probably just help.
Yeah. Which proves my point. Like, it is on you to express how you're feeling a little bit more clearly. Not always, but I'm just saying it's not the other person's job to always translate. Like,
you
need to be able to say, hey, can you help me? Instead of like, my whatever, I'm so tired from unloading all these dishes all the time. Like, why don't you just say, can you help me unload the dishwasher? Hello.
Right. But it's, you know, can you help me do everything, not just the dishwasher? But it's also like, Jen's the one listening to this podcast right now. Jen's the one seeing this article and this Instagram post, whatever it is. So Jen can keep, like, if Daniel had done that, then he could have probably heard Jen yelling about all this stuff and be like, well, what do you need from me? Like, what are you like, what can I do?
What a beautiful response.
Yeah. The two responses that I've learned in my life that I'm very excited to integrate into my next relationship is, what do you need from me? And is this a situation you want me to help with? Or do you want me to just listen?
Those also, maybe getting curious. That's a third.
And getting curious.
Trifecta. That's recipes for success. Oh my God. It is harder to do in the moment. Sometimes you're just like, all my training out the window. Gotta go. I'm going to go slam into a wall now because I'm angry. But
which is also why when you get to the, and then when these arguments do wind up at the end, because they do sometimes, you know, they end relationships, at least you'll have answers. So many people out there right now don't have answers to why things are ending because they're not being communicated, you know?
Also, I think that's why people give up, because doing all this stuff is exhausting. It's hard. You have to regulate your emotions. That's another whole skill set you don't necessarily have. So it's like, it's daunting to think about. And you're like, well, I could just give this one up and go start again. Similar to the Golden Bachelor and Teresa, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
they have like 5 years to start figuring that out.
Yeah. They're life clock is ticking, unlike biological clocks that are ticking in other situations. But yeah
is, like life clock.
It is very complicated. This helps a little though, and there's definitely things that kind of stuck out to each one of us in these three tips, and hopefully there are some that stick out to you. And if you can just remember like one of them and start practicing it, I think that's helpful, because nobody likes arguing. Maybe this will help that from escalating. So they're going to happen, but it will help it from getting maybe to the point where it's like a 2-hour screaming match.
What I would like both of you to do for homework is go start an argument with your significant other and then see how it plays out using these tactics.
Okay.
Can't wait.
Or I will text Daniel and James to start something that you don't know about and then see how you react comparatively to what we just learned.
Let's do
that. I'm already tired.
Then I like that better, because then it's already their fault for starting an argument. So
right.
I like that.
Perfect. Well,
you won't know. You won't know if I started it or it's really them. So you'll have it in the back of your head. Is this Rob? Is this Rob starting?
Well,
this
it's time? Basically you're producing our reality TV show. So we should always suspect that that's happening. And guys, I don't know if you got something from this episode. We hope you did. And if you want to weigh in on arguments that you avoided thanks to these three tips and tricks, please reach out to us at Complicated Show, where you could also see all of the other amazing posts we've done and episodes that we've posted about. And obviously we'll be back every week where we talk more dating and relationshipy stuff. So you can find me at Jennifer Golden on all the social meets.
You can find me at Forever's Evers on Instagram.
And you can follow me at Lauren Leonelli on all the social meets as well. And don't forget to follow Complicated Show.
Bye, Gail.
Thank you for listening to It's Complicated. And now that we're going steady, come back next week for another date with Jennifer Golden, Lauren Leonelli, and Rob Evers.